Well, good evening, everyone. This is Eddie. Not really, it's Joe. How is everyone this evening? Welcome to the Monday evening,
2014
webinar, yes. Yeah. Hope everybody is doing well, and we've got a lot of good stuff to go over here tonight. Matt has got us a couple of case studies here as far as the notes that are for sale. And looks like we have Ryan has an executive summary that we're going to go over. And we've got a couple of other questions also. We do have we're very lucky, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to have Susan on this evening. She's going to be helping us and keeping us together as well. So that's a wonderful thing. So Zarina, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the case study in Belmont, Ohio.
Belmont,
very Ohio. Good.
Okay, and by the way, Matt, this looks very good, very fancy. I love it. Good job. All right, we've got an asset, performing asset, in Belmont, Ohio, 201 East Main Street. 208, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm a little dyslexic this evening. 208 East Main Street in Belmont, Ohio. We'll go through the BPO here in just a few minutes, but we have that, and it's the BPO was done 7/29 of this year, and the BPO value is $51,000. Looks like the sale date was 7/12 of 2012, and what is that, a 15-year loan? And so it matures in 7/1/26. The sale price on this property was $32,042.86, and there was a whopping $1,154.91 as a down payment, which leaves us a current loan balance, the beginning loan balance of $30,887.95, and the beginning term in months on this was 167 months. The coupon, the note rate is 9%, and the monthly payment is $325. Looks like the monthly escrow payment is $42.93. I had to look at, when I was looking at this one earlier, Zarina, I had to look. I think the taxes are like $43 a year or something like that on this. Some crazy number. No, that was the other one. The estimated income taxes on this one is $530. I looked at that and I go, really? $43? Wow. So the total monthly payment with the impounds with the escrow is $367.93. Mm-hmm. It is a single family owner occupied, three bedroom, one bath, 1,200 square feet, a little less than a quarter of an acre. And the average rent on a property in that area is $1,204. That's a great rent. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Let's see. We could sell it and get $325 out of it, or we could rent it and get $1,204. Very interesting. Okay, so I think that's this one's a no-brainer then. All right, we're going to run on down with this one, Zarina, and we'll go through everything. Then we'll come back and talk about pricing on this one.
Okay.
The credit score on the borrower is 553, but as we can see right there on the right, it has a solid pay history. And guys, you know, we've talked about this many times in the past. When these loans are boarded and you're having them serviced by a third-party servicer, we can certainly look past some of that credit when we've got a good solid pay history. Escrow balance will cover estimated 2014 taxes, so we're good there. Let's see. We've got some pictures on this one as well, don't we? Here we've got some on the BPO, but we've got a couple here as well. I think Matt furnished us with. Okay.
Not bad.
Not bad. That's about what we would expect for a $35,000 house. Yeah, it's not bad. The side view is actually really good. I like that. Yeah. Okay.
This is the street view here.
It's the street view. Hey, very nice street. Some nice trees. Looks like there's a lot of pride of ownership on that street there. The street looks good. Huh. Yeah, the side view is great. Just a little different looking in the front. But you know what? a little bit of landscaping would make that into a peach. So.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, let's go ahead and look at the BPO on this one then.
Okay. By the way, Joe, they're saying to speak.
Speak.
Yeah.
Hello.
Turn up your microphone. They're saying.
Put up my microphone. Okay. I'm using a headset. I don't know why it's having a problem. I've got that up all the way. If not, I'll just take the headset off. Is that any better? Yes, no?
That's about the same.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Very good. I took the headset off, so.
Okay. This is the, you wanted the BPO.
Yeah, that's fine. We can go ahead. It's just the vesting details and so on in this. So.
Okay. So this is the, I've never seen one that looked like this one before. So this is the BPO. Yeah. It doesn't make it easier to read, but that's what we got. So.
Well, this is the BPO, right?
Yeah. This is
the
one
we got on the BPO. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. I see that. I just, like you said, I haven't seen one like that either. Okay, so this house was, that was the last comp. Okay, very good. So let's scroll on down. This house sold for, it was 35. The comps, good looking comps there. We've got a comp 1 is 43,000, comp 2 is 55, and comp 3 is 60. All three were traditional sales, conventional cash, and traditional resale. Let's mm-hmm. see. All right, good. I think these are all 3-1s. When was this built? In 1900? Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
We moved past it. There it is. 19. Yeah, they're all the same. So, you know what? It's not a bad-looking street. They've got some good-looking little houses on that street. They're all about the same size. Good-looking neighborhood. What are the listing comps there or below that as well?
Okay,
we've got one listed at 45, 49, and 52.
Mm-hmm.
Days on the market on the first one, second one, so not that's in with about what they had said, about 90 to 120 days on the marketing time in that area.
Right.
Okay, good.
Let's see what else we got here. Oh, those are comments. Yeah, I'm a bit. Here's a general area, information about it.
Okay, location, this portion, we know that it's rural. Okay, distress sales 1%, employment condition 2, neighborhood low 10, high 99. You know what? They're showing fair market rent there at 500, but Matt may have pulled that from Rent-O-Meter, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Two-story home located in town and close to all amenities. Area homes are in a similar style, condition, and age. Neighborhood comments, steel mills and local retail stores are closing and moving out of the area.
High unemployment. Okay. No worries. And there's our comps. Okay.
Yep.
Hey, Matt, is there anything you want to add on this one?
Oh, I got him muted. Hold on.
Oh, you got him muted?
He was making noise.
He was? Okay.
Well, I wasn't making noise. I just, since I live in the center of Denver, it sounds like I'm either getting shot or about to get shot about with sirens and everything going by all the time. So,
Matt, is that a two-gun neighborhood?
Where I'm living? No, it's a good place, but
it's a beautiful place. When Eddie and I were in Denver, he showed me pretty much where you live. So, you live in a very nice place there, bud.
Matt, those aren't sirens of emergencies. They're just having a parade welcoming you to town.
With a train route straight to the hospital.
Well, it's a community site. You got to go tour it from time to
time. I guess so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's this asset. Let's see. Let's go back to what else do we have to look at on this one, guys?
Title.
Mm-hmm. I flipped through that a minute ago. Looked good.
Yeah, this one. first half of 2012 is paid. On this one, I forget when they bought it, but this one says delinquent. But it's paid by now, right, Matt?
It has been paid as of now, yes. Okay. It's current and up to date.
Nice.
Good deal. Okay.
Very cool. That's the first
excellent. One. Anything you want to add on this one, Matt?
No, and to go back to that, I always pull rent from Rent-A-Meter.
Right.
And so I noticed that on the BPO also, but Rent-A-Meter is usually pretty accurate, so that's always where I pull my numbers from.
Exactly. And you know, if it were half of that at $600 a month, that would be a great rent.
It's still better than, you know, them going out and having to get a new place, like we
right,
always
exactly.
say.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're paying less than $400 a month.
Right. Okay, so the asking price on this asset, guys, is $24,016.44, which is 85.10% of the unpaid balance. The investment to value on this one is 47%, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yield to investor at $24,016 is almost 12.5%. So. With the solid pay history, the low investment to value, I think that would be a great asset to for anyone that's on the call. Okay. By the way, the total cash payment on that is $45,825. Good job. Okay. Very good. If anybody has any questions on that, go ahead and shoot them in. Or if
we have a hand up, let me see.
Good.
Super. Juan Garcia.
Okay.
You there, Juan?
Yeah, yes.
Hey, Juan, how you doing? It's Joe.
Okay.
Good. What Did was I your question, my friend?
No, I didn't have a question. It was just on the speaker. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Thanks, Juan.
Well, we put you on the spot, didn't we?
We did. All right, had his hand up, that's why. Let's see. We got a comment here from Roman. He said, how much of a factor is the population of Belmont? Being, you know, population is 449 and all the comps are pulled from other townships. So how much of a factor?
Well, you know, the challenge that you have with any rural area is it's always you're going to have to go outside the norm on every one of these deals in these small towns. It's just the way it is. There's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, that kind of is what it is. The good thing is that, you know, we've got an estimated value of $51,000, I believe, is what the BPO value was. And it sold for, what, $31,000 and change, almost
$32,000. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with the investment to value at the $51,000, we're at $47,000. You know, I think that's okay. I think that with a couple of years of seasoning on it and buying it at 85% of UPB, I think that's okay. And that's just going to be normal. It's not like you're going to be in a metropolitan area and have all your comps are going to be within a mile or so of the subject. It just isn't going to happen. So,
Joe, when the actual, you know, P&I and T&I is significantly less than what the same can rent for, what does that look like as far as, you know, projected pay history? You know, are they likely to, you know, less likely to default?
Well, when you're looking at something like this, and let's just cut to the chase and said, you know, say this, that, you know, that even if it would just rent for $500 a month,
mm-hmm.
okay, or if this guy had to move out of this house, and he's paying what $343 or $367, $368 all in PITI, and even if it just rented for $500 a month, you know, it would be okay. If it rented, so it's the rent, you know, honestly, is going to be somewhere between $500 and $1,200 that was on Rent-A-Meter. You know, I'm thinking it would probably be somewhere in the $600-$650 a month range. So he would be half of what he is now, you know, for a three-bedroom, one-bath house, $367 a month payment is, you know, that's just unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, on something like this, it'd have to pay off early because he's moving.
What's that?
I said, you know, on something like this, the only thing I can think of, I mean, things can happen and you can't really predict if they'll
pay.
But just looking at it, I'm thinking there's no real reason that he would ever refinance this thing unless he wanted to get some sort of home equity.
Well, and the likelihood of him being able to refi it with his credit score.
Right.
And, you know, it being in a rural area. But, you know, so I think it would be out there. You know, the worst case scenario is if he did stop paying and moved out, you know, you'd foreclose in Kentucky, which is not a big deal. And this one's in
Ohio.
Ohio, so we've got about, 6 months or so. And you would have it and you would rent it for, $650 a month. You'd just resell it and you wouldn't have a problem reselling it. And you would do the same thing. You'd owner finance it again.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, very good.
Next one. Right. This one's actually in Kentucky.
That one's in Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, that's where Ryan is originally from, is Kentucky. He's not told many people that, but he really is.
He's from Iowa.
Hey, I drove through there this summer on motorhome and money.
All right, I gotcha. Are you in Dallas, Ryan?
I am in the Great Lake of South, yes.
Oh, you are. Okay, so you're at Five Star.
Yes.
Everybody's at Five Star. There must be a party going on.
Let me just real quick to divert just a second. I was sitting there with Eddie and Martha and Ryan and Charles last year at the last day of Five Star, and I thought it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I looked at my watch and I said, "Oh my God, I have a flight in 40 minutes."
Ooh!
So Ryan said, "Let's go," and let me tell you something. He was like Mario Andretti going down the freeway, getting me to the airport. He dumped me off right there. I got out of the car. I got out of the truck. I went through the check-in. Boom, went in and got right on the plane. So Ryan did a great job.
Wow.
Yes. I'll tell you what, though, he was really booking it to get me here. So anyway, let's talk about this asset in Olive Hill, Kentucky.
Yep.
I have another performing asset, land contract. Let's see, sell date was, when was the sell date?
That must have mixed up. Oh, well, its first payment was on January of 2012.
January 2012, so we would just assume that it's sometime late in November, 1st of December of 2012. Okay, we've got a current value of $75,000, a very recent 30-day BPO on this property. Let's see, it was another 15-year loan, so 180 months, $36,972, $500 down payment, 173 months as far as the AM. And you know why you have those odd months, right, Darina?
Yeah, because Eddie was saying last week that whoever put this stuff together just kind of took the rents, put it at 65%, and just went from there. So.
And they're trying to make a payment.
Yeah.
Okay, I can afford $375 or I can afford $420 a month all in. So, okay, now that's right. So 173, 9% rate, total monthly payment with the escrow is $420. Current unpaid balance is $32,564. So we've got 32 payments and 141 payments remaining. This is a single family 3-1 again. Let's see,
1,200 square feet.
Now this has got a little property with it, so we've got 3.81 acres, almost 4 acres, and then the average rent on this looks to be about $846 a month.
So this is where
I saw the taxes. The estimated taxes of $58 a month.
That's the annual. You put that under annual.
That's
taxes.
What I mean. Yeah, the annual taxes are $58 a month. Wow. So $189 is the escrow balance. So heck, that'll cover the taxes for 3 years, man. Current unpaid balance is 32. Yeah, we've got all of that. No other liens on the property. Good pay history. Rural stable market. Serviced by FCI. Very good.
Now this person doesn't have a credit score, though. You want to speak about
that? Yeah, and the question is it better to have no credit score or a bad credit score. You know, we should unmute Ms. De La Garza and ask her something like this, what she thinks of that.
Gladly. Susan,
hello there, Susan.
It all depends on when you're looking at the actual file.
Right.
An unavailable score that shows that someone's had credit in the past and been responsible means a lot different scenario than someone that's never had any credit.
That's right. Mm. I agree.
So I have to, just because there's a no score, well, a no score is probably better than a 400 score anytime.
Yes.
Right.
because that means they've had credit and done really poorly.
Right.
So for a score to be unavailable, I'm looking to see if they've ever had a credit file and if they've ever had any credit. They just don't actively have any credit.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. But again, since this is, we have a verifiable pay history on this, that, you know, that's what we're going to look at on this loan as we're out there.
Yeah, you're going to base everything on that payment history.
That's it. That's it. And I would rather have a great pay history than a, you know, if we've got a bad credit score, we'd have a great credit history. So that's what our great pay history. So we've got that. Very good. Okay. Let's see. Let's look at the BPO.
Okay.
Ms. Arena.
Let's see. Here we are. Now this BPO I'm a little bit more used to.
Yes, this is one of the Halo investments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So this one's from August 12th.
Yep, so that's very recent.
Yep.
Very good. Owner occupied. Okay, let's go on down. Okay, current market conditions slow, but employment conditions are stable, which is good. Market price has remained stable, which is good. I mean, you know, we're not looking for the decrease. We're looking for the stability.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Normal supply of property. So that means there's probably about 6 months supply of properties on the market. It's a percentage owner. So we're 90% owner occupied, 10% tenant occupied. That's great.
Yep.
That's really good. And the comps in the area was 3. Which was very good to have them right in that area. And let's see, number of boarded up or blocked up homes, none. The neighborhood is centrally located to main roads and public service, schools and parks, shopping, dining, entertainment, recreation, small businesses. The comps conform to the community standards, so very good.
Nice.
And we're at $30,000 to $100,000 in range in that area, which is good. Normal marketing in the area is 90 to 120 days, all types of financing. So, yeah, this is a nice little asset, okay? All right, let's have a look there.
These are the comps.
And, you know, the comps, we're in a more rural area, so you've got that first comp number one was an REO. The second was a traditional sale. The third was a traditional sale, so... let's see, we have 5, 3, and 11, almost 12 miles on the comps, and the REO, if you'll notice over on that first one, Zarina, that comp number one,
mm-hmm.
you'll notice that the price per square foot is lower because it was an REO property.
Yep. See that.
Yep, so that's your reason, and so, you know, I've seen these things with, you know, 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
The comps were REO properties, which really drive the price down.
Yep.
Let's see. The first two are pretty, the first comp is 3 acres, right at 3 acres, 3.81 on our subject. Yeah, we're good to go there.
Yep. This one is actually just, you know, standard lots.
Right, exactly. Those are standard lots. You got a little extra property there.
Let's see.
You got a spread there.
Yeah.
Okay, comparable listings in the area. Hey, they look great. There's one there 2.3 miles away. Looks like it's 99,000. You've got one, where's the second one? About 3 miles away.
It's
75,000, 74.9, and then you've got one about 3 miles away. So they're all right there. The average between those three is going to be, what, around $70, $72 a square foot. So that's great. All those are listed on the MLS, so Yeah, I think that's good. They're all the same as far as size. I think the third one listed property is a 3-2. The others are 3-1s, which mm-hmm. our comp is as well, or our subject is as well.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Pictures?
Oh, we do, yeah. So, let's see. There's some comments by the realtor. Oh, that's a bad one. Here we go.
Okay, got two or three new cars there. Looks like the roof is okay.
Need a weed whacker.
Like sitting up on a little hill there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking up, so yes, you're at the top of the mountain.
Yeah. There's the street that it's on, amazing.
Rural street, yeah. Again, mm-hmm. another rural asset, but that's, you know, that's what we're looking at there. Okay. Yeah. Side view. Very good.
Cool.
And what else do we have on?
We got a title for this one too.
Oh, good. Okay.
I think this one's just going to mention the
yeah, there's your borrower,
taxes.
Land value, assessed improvement 7. Okay, yeah. There's the taxes. Yes, the taxes are $57.
I cannot believe that. That's crazy.
I know, isn't that crazy? Yeah, $57.40. Let's see, tax lien C11. I think the taxes are paid down on these. On
yeah, this one's escrow, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, all of these are escrow. So mm-hmm. that's another one of the redeeming factors we're looking at. Okay.
Yep, and that's it. The rest of it's cool. Well, here go.
Okay, and the price on this asset?
This one's $27,711.28.
Good deal. 85% of UPV, 37% ITV, which is just great.
Yep.
And again, this one is 12, almost 12 and a half as far as the yield to the investor. So any questions on that asset, guys?
Lisa said she's going to move there for those taxes.
Are we talking about Lisa from California?
Yeah, we are. Oh, we don't have another Lisa.
What's that?
We don't have another Lisa.
We don't have another Lisa.
At least I don't know one. Yeah.
I'm right there with you, Lisa. I agree. $57. All right.
Ridiculous.
Any other questions?
Heard of anything like that?
And if anyone on the call is interested in these assets, how do we do that, Zarina?
Well, normally they email Charles. He's not on tonight, so I guess we're going to send them to offering at colonialfundinggroup.com.
Very
we'll do
good.
It that way.
Yeah, Eddie and Charles and Bob are all over at the 5-star, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very
yeah.
good.
But Jennifer's still in the office, and that's who really does all of Charles' work anyway.
Okay, I'm not even going to comment on that.
Uh-huh.
I can see Susan's face right now, too. She's got a smile on her face.
Yes, I do.
I can't really see her face, so I'm going to just say
I am smiling, though. I think it's funny.
Okay, what are we going to do next, guys? Are we going into...
Well, Juan had his hand up. I just unmuted him to see if he wanted to make a comment.
No, it's just that the monthly escrow seems to be $45. That's what it's showing there.
Yeah, the monthly escrow is $45. I think that must... Does that include the insurance, Matt, or is that just...
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's got to be with only $57 in taxes.
I know.
Right.
Got to be.
Yeah. Matt had me change the average rent $735.
Okay.
So.
Hey, but let me tell you something. So what are we all in at on this? We're at $420 a month. Again, yeah, that's a great thing. That's a really positive thing when you've got the rents are double what the mm-hmm. what the monthly payment are on these assets. And looks like whomever it is that lives there, those cars look very new. So yeah, I think that's a very, very favorable asset. Okay.
Cool.
What are we doing now?
We're gonna cover Ryan Parsons' little deal here.
Okay.
And he's,
I think that's anything but a little deal.
Yeah. Well, his deal, and then we'll see what we can get out of him.
Mr. Parsons, how are you?
I am very good. I'm very fine tonight. Thanks for asking.
AKA Jeff Gordon or...
Now that was an anomaly. I certainly don't make a habit of driving that way.
I know you don't. You got that, brother.
Unfortunately, I live my life seem to be being late to the airport, so probably not the first time.
And every time I do it, Ryan, I swear that it's not going to be that way the next time.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. Yeah, well, you want to tell us about this deal?
Absolutely. So we've been talking about here, Joe, you've been going over a lot of these performing loans, and as we're all very well aware, we tend to be focused on the small balance space with the property values and the $125,000 and less space. And right. Probably for a lot of us on the call that have been on for a while, we know why we're in that space, but I know that we also have several new folks too. And so maybe just as a quick refresher, we tend to focus on that smaller balance space with under the $125,000 in collateral value just because of the amount of the inventory that's out there. And quite frankly, there's just less competition with hedge funds when we're going out in the marketplace and buying that kind of paper. And so it's not often, Joe, as you know, that we see things come across the pricing desk that are larger than that 125, although we certainly do see it. But this is a great example because as we're seeing on the screen here, this particular property, and we'll get down in there, Zarina, in just a second, but this particular property is valued somewhere in the $500,000 to $600,000 space. And so what's unusual, Joe, I think we get so entrenched sometimes in seeing the day-to-day things that we sometimes don't always see some other opportunities that are in front of us, you know. And you obviously have to be working from a business and a scalability standpoint. You have to be working where the volume is. But there's good deals that are hiding out there that sometimes fall out of the norm. Although in our world of seller financing and performing loans, this deal did indeed start off as a seller finance loan almost 4 years ago. And so we wanted to, I thought it was a good example for us to go over tonight. It's a very real deal. It's a very viable deal, but it's got some interesting elements to it here. And so I know we're primarily focused on this call with performing loans, but I think if Eddie were on with us tonight, it would probably be one of these examples where he would say, we're bringing it up because it's got so many key components of both performing and what I think you would say a non-performer in incubation.
Right.
But I think it's a good example, Joe and Zarina, for us to look at because even though we're buying loans, occasionally performing loans, you know, do have hiccups.
Yep.
And how do we either recognize those hiccups and then, you know, as far in advance as we might be able to try to mitigate as much of it as we can, and then what do you do with it? And so this particular example originated, as you can see there, back in December of 2010. And this happened to be a property that was owned by another investor that sold this property to the owner-occupants. And so they made their first payment on February of 2011 on a loan balance of $625,000. So that's not a typo. When this loan originated, it was a $625,000 loan written with a 48-month balloon.
Right.
And Joe, we usually, when we've talked about seller financing paper and when we're trying to help somebody originate paper, you know, that's been one of the things that we've always talked about is if you can put a balloon on there, it helps to when you go and sell it because it really mitigates the amount of the discount that the seller of the loan is going to realize if they choose to sell it because there's obviously a balloon payment. Right. And that's indeed how this particular investor, when they originated the seller financing, you know, almost 4 years ago now, did. Well, you know, Joe, why we do that, or an investor would do that from a couple of different perspectives. So if you're the investor, if you own this house and you're about to originate $625,000, Joe, do you necessarily want your money out there as an investor at a fixed rate return for 30 years?
Absolutely not.
No, we wouldn't. And most of us, very, very few of us, would want to lock our rate in, even though it's at a 6.5% interest rate. We wouldn't necessarily want to lock ourselves in for that long of a period of time, and certainly neither did this investor. And that's why they put the 48-month balloon on there.
Ryan, a couple of reasons that, you see a house that, of this size and of this size of the loan, you may have somebody that just started a business that wanted to buy this house, and
yes,
they went ahead and they did it, it just like this. It could have sold with no money down, of course, which is okay as well, and we know exactly why people are doing this. You just had a buyer and a seller who had a meeting of the minds, and this is what it looks like.
That's exactly what it is, and so we could look into the file in a little bit more detail and probably get the answers to those questions, Joe, but those are very important questions that you'd certainly want to uncover, or would at least attempt to uncover during due diligence. But my investor, who actually brought this to me, who's currently owning this note, brought it to me because we are getting close to that 48-month balloon, and this is where I was suggested earlier when we started this, that being able to look at your loan portfolio, if you hold performing loans in your portfolio or you're acquiring loans, you want to be able to try to see what's going on and be as far ahead of the curve as you can. So we realize they're 48 months ahead of the curve here, they're 4 months from their balloon coming due. Their current unpaid principal balance, as you can see there, Zarina, is about $611,000?
Yep.
Is what the balance is now. So they've paid down in 4 years, they've paid down a little chunk of principal here. Mind you that their principal and interest payment is $3,659.11 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hey, Ryan, I know that if we multiplied what that 45 times the $3,659 a month, it's certainly going to be more than the $14,000 or so they've paid off in principal, right?
Well, that's a huge point on there. So think about how much interest the current owner of this loan has received. But more so, Joe, what is important, particularly when looking at these higher balance type of assets, at $3,600, almost $3,700 a month for 4 years, that is a lot of money.
Yes,
that's
that's
over $120,000 in payments from this borrower's perspective that they have into this deal. Now, I know we don't have the amount of the down payment here. I just didn't get all that information today when this came available, but $120,000, regardless of who you are, that's a lot of money, and that's a lot of skin in the game.
It's 164.
Actually, yeah. Ryan, it's about $164,500.
All right. Well, they got a little bit more skin in the game today. You guys are making it a better deal by the moment here.
Right, exactly.
So, but regardless, the UPB is at $611,000 here right now. They've already made their September 2014 payment. You can see they paid that on September 2nd. They've had an excellent pay history. They've made 45 payments on this deal. And by the time their balloon payment comes due here in another 90 days or so, they're going to have a payoff balance of approximately $610,000. Serena is highlighting that there for us. So, Joe, why do you suspect, I kind of alluded to it here, and maybe some folks will start to maybe just type in what they think is going on, but Well, why do you suppose my note seller here gave me a call and said, "Hey, Ryan, I want to sell this loan."
Let me dig really deep here and say, the borrower is having a little problem refinancing right now.
Well, you know what? If we were playing a Family Feud, that would be the survey says the number one response.
I would have gotten 100 points on that one.
That's right. That's right. You would have won the bonus round there.
That's right.
So that's exactly what it is. And Joe, you have certainly been at this business for a long, long time. And I know when you guys were buying a ton of seller finance loans, what we're seeing in this scenario was not necessarily unique. 10 and 15 years ago, was it?
No, absolutely not.
So what if you think about what's happening here right now, this loan was originated back in 2010, so we were right kind of in the doldrums of the recovery period when the 2008 debacle happened.
Exactly.
So depending on, if you look back in the history book there a little bit 4 years ago now and think about what was going on, and at least on a nationwide basis, 2010 was kind of at the trough of it, or kind of hanging down there at the trough.
Yes,
of it.
Yes, it was.
And so it fit that perfect model of that just missed borrower, because as you see here, their credit score currently today is still in the high 600s. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could still get a conventional loan today.
Oh, absolutely.
So you look at all of these redeeming factors in this deal. I'll keep going with the rest of the story, but I think for all of us, it's a really good exercise to keep thinking and looking at this line by line. What are all the good points on this thing, and then maybe what are some of the soft points? If you were going to be an investor or take this to one of your investors who might like this type of paper, you know, what are the pros and cons of all of this? So you're right, Joe. The borrower has, you know, the current owner of this loan, he does a really good job originating his loans, servicing his loans, you know, was contacting his borrower almost 4 months ago and said, "Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Borrower, remember you got this balloon coming up in January. What are you doing to get refinancing?" And Joe, what do you think the borrower says?
"Well, we're having trouble refinancing this loan, and it certainly doesn't look like it would be a credit issue. It may be a debt-to-income ratio issue right now. Could be something like that."
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know. Could be a value issue, even though,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know?
That's right. And so what's important to recognize here is that the current borrower went to the bank to try to go get a loan, and for whatever reason the bank said, we still can't do it for you right now.
Right.
Borrower calls the current note seller and says, "Oh my gosh, we love our house, we've been here for 4 years, we want to continue to stay here, we know we've got this balloon, we cannot get refinanced, what possibly can you do?"
Right.
And so this is really, this is a performing loan right now, but this is a potential non-performer in incubation.
Well, you know, Ryan, and I think it's important to point out on this, I mean, if I were looking to buy this, or if I were looking to sell this,
mm-hmm.
most likely what I would do is go ahead and, you know, modify that and put that
yes.
you know, balloon a couple of years out there on that, giving the borrowers a little more time to, to qualify for that, and keep pushing them to refinance this. And if I were buying this, now we could look at it two ways. You know, we could say, okay, well, you know, in 3 months we're gonna buy this loan now, and we're just gonna foreclose on it in 3 months because the guy can't take out his balance.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could say, okay, I'll buy this now. You go ahead and modify it, and then I'll just hold on to it, and we'll work with this guy until he gets it, out there. Obviously, we would, look at adjusting the interest rate, and we may want him to see if we could get him to do a principal reduction of some kind on this as well.
Those are all excellent strategies, Joe, and everything that I'm thinking about, too. And I even talked to my note seller about, you know, why don't you just go and do this, too? But you know what? If you've got a bunch of money tied up into a loan that lasts 4 years and you're an active investor and you've got a lot of deals going on, you might be willing to say, you know what? At the 6.5%, I was willing to carry it for 4 years at that. I'm not willing to do that anymore.
Right.
It's more advantageous to the note seller to sell it to us at a nice discount and redeploy their capital into other opportunities.
Okay.
Has he
floated a number out there for you?
Let me come to that. So what Zarina has got here, it looks like our performance history on this deal has just been beautiful.
Right.
And at first I was a little bit worried about what kind of a shack we were buying here from a collateral standpoint. So I don't know, Zarina, what's our box look like here?
Beautiful.
Is that our collateral?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Joe, to answer your question, have we gotten down to an exact number yet? Maybe that's a little bit about what we might be able to try to come up with here on the call for a little in just a second. But as everyone's getting to look at this little McMansion here, which happens to be, it's here in the Metroplex, I believe, it's in Cedar Hill, Texas. I guess I don't know. If that's part of the whole Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex or not. But I do know that this house, our collateral, is in a nice gated community. And the house next door, literally next door to this, the same builder that built this has got a spec home in there, has the house right next door listed for $585,000.
Gotcha.
Now, Joe, what my note seller said to me, he was very acute, he said, you know, he lists it for $585,000. He doesn't care if he sells it or not. He just puts it out in the market every year and does this.
Yeah.
I'm like, now, Zarina, I know you're doing that, too. I know all your $500,000 houses across the country. Just kind of float them around.
Right.
So, but anyway, the point is, my note seller said, I don't think it's worth that. I think these houses are probably worth closer to about $500,000 right at the moment.
Right.
So this is how in tune my note seller is here right now, Joe. And, of course, to which I said, now, we're going to have to buy this at some discount off the $500,000 price since the loan is more than the value of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think he said?
Are you crazy? No, I think he said, well, let's talk.
That's exactly right, Joe. I mean, you can read how this movie is playing out here.
Right.
He's a sophisticated investor. He really did write a nice piece of paper here for us to buy.
Right.
Great buyers, high credit, great payment history, beautiful piece of collateral. He wants out. Not that he knows these people want to stay. He needs to redeploy his capital.
Right, and you know the other part of that, Ryan, is, I mean, we don't know. I mean, he may have bought this, and maybe he has $375,000 in it.
Exactly.
We have no idea.
Right. We gotta remember when he would have bought this would have been in the doldrums of the market.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. There's a lot of people on this call that are going to know more about that particular market than probably what I do, and that probably has. I see somebody just pointed out to me it's in the south of the DFW Metroplex here. So I bet you there's some folks on this call here right now that have got some more insight and maybe want to connect with me afterwards here if there's some interest in it. But he needs to redeploy this. So he realizes there's going to be some haircut that he's going to take here, but it really might not be as much as we're all looking at this going, wow, would he take an $80,000, would he take $100,000, would he take $150,000 haircut in relation to the current property value?
Right.
So, Joe, that's kind of a long explanation to where is he at with the pricing. He knows it's going to be a discount towards the current property value, let's say mm-hmm. $500,000. We know the borrower owes about $610,000. Would that give us plenty of room to, like you say, lower the principal balance? Absolutely. One of the things he's already prepped the borrower for is that, well, if we do this and we have to extend it for you, the interest rate's going to go up. What do you think the borrowers? What do you think the borrower said?
Hey, they've got emotional equity in this, and $165,000 in payment principal and interest in this, and plus taxes and insurance over the past 45 months. And let's face it, in 3 years, this house may be worth $650,000 again.
That's right. So great.
You know, I think somewhere in the 425 range. And the other thing you ask the seller or the property owner for is some kind of good faith money to redo it for them.
Yes. Maybe there's a little bit of fee income you can make on that to extend that deal. And I think it's a good point, Joe. I know there's always a lot of rules and regs, and we probably have to ask a loan servicer this exact question, but it's not necessarily that we have to extend it for another 30 years. We can just push the balloon out.
Right.
Maybe another 3 or 4 years or whatever the case might be. And like you say, as time is going on here, it's not unrealistic to think that could this property go up to $600,000 in the next 3 to 5 to 7 years or whatever time frame as an investor we feel comfortable, taking this risk on.
Now, that raises a good point, what you just said, Ryan, about pushing the balloon. So now, when this was created, it was pre-Dodd-Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're post-Dodd-Frank. What does that look like when a balloon is about to mature, should mature, it can't pop, and now you have to modify in a post-Dodd-Frank world?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's an excellent question, Zarina, and I may have to defer to Joe on that. I don't know if Charles is on the phone or not, but...
I think he bailed, but anyway, that's the $1 million. Well, in this case, it's the $500,000.
Right.
I'll bet Ryan, Zarina, I'll bet if we were to ask 10 different attorneys, we would probably get 10 different answers. Probably half of them would say that yes, since this was pre-Dodd-Frank and we're just modifying it and pushing the loan, the balloon date out. I would like to say yes. I'll bet if Kevin was on the phone, he would probably say maybe. I don't know what Eddie would say. What do you think, Susan?
I would think that you would be able to do a renewal and extension of the existing loan, and therefore you're not obligated with today's rules and regulations.
I tend to agree with Susan on that.
I do. Well, it's a big deal, and keep in mind here, everyone, we're not offering legal advice. None of us are attorneys, but there comes to be a point here where you've got to make a management decision, and what can we do to ultimately help these homeowners? Do they want to stay? I think the answer is overwhelmingly yes. Is it a beautiful piece of collateral worth taking the risk on? The answer, is, from my perspective anyway, is certainly yes. And so I think there is some opportunities there, Joe, to look at this. And the last thing is maybe we kind of start to wrap this up here a little bit. I mean, I think that purchase price that you're talking about, somewhere in the low 400 range, is probably a good number. And, if we just keep the payment amount the way it is, that's comfortable with the borrower, might have to reduce the principal, or we may not have to reduce the principal.
Yeah.
Maybe we leave the rate as it is and leave the principal balance as it is. And, there's a lot of different ways to massage this. But
really
the point
is
a 10 or 11 or 12% yield, whatever this might be priced at, a 10 or 11 for 12% yield on a $400,000 investment is a lot of cash flow coming in.
Yes, it is. Yes,
so
it is.
There's a difference when you start to think nominal dollar values.
Right.
And for some folks on the call, that's a very important element when they're looking at acquiring performing loans into their portfolios. About a monthly cash flow element.
Well, that, Ryan, and the other part of that is, so do you buy a half dozen assets like we looked at in the case studies there,
Mm-hmm.
Or do you buy an asset like this in the low 400s, and you've got a great looking asset, and you know this current note owner, this note seller or potential note seller, you know, he's looking at this, and if he has to take this back, he's gonna sell it at less than $500,000.
That's right.
And you know, that could take a while. He yep. has probably befriended these people over the past, you know, 4 years or so.
Yes.
And he probably would rather, you know, go ahead and take the hit on it, even though he may not be taking a hit, because you've got to remember he's received $165,000 over the last 45
yes.
months. He may have paid $325 for this, you know, as a short sale or something like that when he bought it. So, you know, to know that backstory, you know, this could be a great, you know, single asset for somebody that really, you know, that's a heck of a cash flow.
Mm-hmm. And let's be clear on that too, Joe. Every investor has a different rationale for buying this versus buying a half a dozen smaller loans, because there are distinct advantages to each.
Yes, there are.
Very distinct advantages. So everyone's portfolio needs are going to be different. Everyone's capital deployment needs are going to be different. But something like this is having this type of a loan in your portfolio certainly has a lot of very distinct advantages, as well as, you know, maybe for a couple of investors that come together and form an entity, you know, everyone maybe brings a couple $100,000 to the table, and you buy this and share it with one of your financial friends. So there's a lot of ways to be able to access a really nice deal like this. If you don't have all 400 or 420,000 or wherever, you know, we end up maybe on the purchase price on this deal. So a lot of great opportunities here. So I think it's a good one to see different elements that come through, and especially in a higher value dwelling type situation.
I do too. I agree. And so if somebody had some questions about this asset, mm-hmm. Would they need to contact you, Ryan?
Sure. That is perfectly fine to do.
Okay. Email, phone, how would be the best?
Email is probably best for me. Zarina, do you have a particular email address you'd like to refer folks to?
For you on this one?
Yeah, that's, yes.
Yeah, I'll take them. Reference. Just email
okay.
me.
Okay. You can keep that consistent there.
Yeah.
So. We can do that.
Someone was asking about running this through the calculator, so that's behind the scenes. That's what I'm doing, and I'll show you guys in a second.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I was going to suggest that, but no. You know, I was just going to say there while Zarina is doing that is, you know, we get used to looking, as you preface this at the beginning of your. The beginning of looking at this deal was that, you know, we do get so in tuned at looking at these, you know, $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 assets that, you know, we forget that there's some great deals on stuff like this that's out there, and when you look at it, and it's just like you said, that the cash flow on something like this, if you just modify, you know, pushed it out a couple of years, as Susan was saying, and left the interest rate and the payment the same,
mm-hmm.
and but you're buying the thing for 420, 430, something like that. You know, the cash flow is huge.
It is. It is significant. And a good thing to remember too, in times like this, when a lot of this type of seller financing was created. I mean, I remember on these calls, you know, 4 and 5 years ago, mm-hmm. when Eddie was talking with us about. That how much of the seller finance paper was being created and how much of the opportunity we're going to see. You know, I very distinctly remember him talking about that. And, you know, here we are 4 and 5 years later. And so it's just a great reminder for, I know we've got a ton of real estate investors on the call, a lot of realtors on the call, a lot of folks with a lot of centers of influence here. This kind of paper is all around us, and you know, we're obviously seeing a lot of it. I think a lot of that you went over today, Joe, is a lot of seller finance paper.
Sure.
There's a ton of great seller finance paper out there.
So, and just so that we know, this the cash flow on this is almost $44,000 a year.
Wow.
At that, and so, and it's still this type of inventory. We're still going to see it. I noticed. I saw the latest stats, and you probably saw it too if you read DS News over the weekend, Ryan. That there's a whopping total of 5,277 REO properties now in the state of Florida. That's it.
Wow.
And Florida has the most.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so that's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It is. So, you know,
okay,
Serena,
did you pull that? Did you get that done?
Yeah, I did. Let me pull it up here for you guys. So just as an FYI, here's the data input. And I just had to play with some of the numbers as far as term to get the payment that he ended up with.
Right.
So the term is somewhere around 500. That's kind of what I got there. And then for this one, since there is a balloon, I just went ahead and pretended that it's fully amortized, and you start to get a price for that. And then, of course, the unpaid balance. So then when you're going to invest in this, you could just plug in, 12% here. And that gives you 360. So if you put something like 10%, it's around the numbers that you guys were talking about, 429.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And still a good looking ITV. Isn't that almost $75,000 of equity from an ITV perspective?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of good cushion.
Yeah, it is. And look at the partials down here.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even get to those. So,
yep. Okay. Well, let's. That's. Yeah. I would. If anybody's interested in talking more about this, just email Zarina, and she'll make sure that Ryan gets that. And but yeah, this is a really interesting deal. You know, it a lot of times, Ryan, what you don't find is that savvy or that note owner that understands the business and what he's going to have to do with this to make it work.
That's right.
And by having somebody that is amenable to, the discount and knows what the house is really worth and tells you, well, it's not going to be, the neighbor's house isn't going to sell for $585. It's worth $500.
Right.
So he knows, and again, I'm sure he probably bought this thing as a short sale, or maybe the developer couldn't
mm-hmm.
sell it and was stuck with it. And so I'm
right.
sure he doesn't have nearly as much as he sold this house for in it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, I think we've got one more question to go through, and then we need to let Matt give us a go through the contest stuff with us.
That's right.
Okay.
So let's see if I can get Bob on here. I think I see him.
It's this one here. Yeah, the one in Ridgeville, Indiana.
Yeah, I was looking for Bob Esler. He might have popped off by now. His question is, he has a note that he bought in Indiana, and he's got a local person, I don't know if this is at a REO or just somebody he knows, who wants to buy 5 years of a partial from him at 8.5%. So he wants to know, can you advise what are the mechanics of completing this transaction? The loan's currently boarded in service with Allied, and so he has two questions. Is there a standard contract people use? And do people usually go through some sort of escrow process to do this?
Well, I'll answer number one, and then I'll let, if Susan will, she can answer number two. And the standard contract is going to be the partial purchase agreement, which is on the website
mm-hmm.
Under downloads.
Yeah, and I actually screen captured it, so this is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's right there. So just go there, and the partial purchase agreement is the RP-101-1, Receivable Purchase Agreement Partial Buyout.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Susan, what do you think about the, and it's very self-explanatory, and what do you think about as far as, just kind of clue us in when you're buying a partial or selling a partial to somebody like that. I would leave it boarded with, Allied and you know, just suggest that whoever buys this 60 payment partial, just leave it there, wouldn't you?
It would be easier, but that's all your preference on who you prefer to be a servicer. I think when they're asking about the escrow process, I think they're asking about the funding.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're asking, should I put the money in escrow and close through someone? You have to decide how, do you know this person that you're selling it to? Are they comfortable? I would say that almost, I don't know, if we're buying a one-off deal,
mm-hmm.
I would say that probably 95% of the time I don't do it through an escrow.
You just wire it direct?
I send them all the documents, tell them how to sign it, tell them that I'll fund them within 24 hours of receiving it. They hand everything to me and I wire to them and they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. You know, it's kind of like we have a reputation that we're honest people.
Right.
Part of it's your whole process of when you're working on a deal. It's no different than when you're working on a deal and you're trying to bid to a seller.
Mm-hmm.
You develop a relationship with them and they feel comfortable. If it's someone that you don't know or someone that demands that you put the money in escrow, then most definitely you can do it. In this scenario, if I'm understanding correctly, our student is the seller selling to someone else.
Yes.
So I would, as the student, if I was in the student's position, I wouldn't even recommend it to them. I'd just tell them this is the process.
Right.
And have them sign the document, send them back to me. I mean, all he has to do is sign that agreement and send it back to me.
Yeah.
If I can't prove that I gave him the money, then there's no real deal there.
Right.
I'm the one that would have, as the student, would have to provide them an endorsement to the note, a transfer of the lien, and it would be nice if they would leave it serviced where I currently have it serviced, because therefore the mm-hmm. documents are already there. They're already holding it.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think it would be if I were the one that was buying this from our student, I would have a comfort level if it's being, you know, serviced. I'd just leave it where it is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As you said. Yeah. I mean, that would be good for me. Yeah.
I know that even when we buy stuff, when Colonial will buy certain loans, sometimes we don't change the servicing. Depending on the scenario, most definitely. But there's many a times we haven't changed the servicing.
I think that's the perfect answer.
Sweet. All right.
We've only closed about 1 million loans, so
If I will throw one more little thing out there, not to throw a big hiccup in it for anyone. When you own a full and you're selling a partial, when you endorse that note or when you assign that lien, you can always put language in there that protects you on your back end in addition to that agreement. For instance, if I was drawing in a allonge that Mr. Speed was going to sign, I would still do the same allonge that I would normally do, the same endorsement, but I would probably add the words that it is made per the terms and conditions of the agreement. So like if your agreement's named a receivable purchase and sale agreement, you'd say, per the terms of the receivable purchase and sale agreement dated 9/15 of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
All that does is it makes everybody realize they need to ask another question. You didn't give a full endorsement. Even the assignment that's of record, I know that there are a lot of times that when Colonial has bought full and sold partial, because I added language in the assignment, it made them give me notice if someone was going to foreclose.
Mm-hmm. Because you were in the chain of title, right?
I'm still in the chain of title, even though I have assigned it and given them full right to be able to exercise any remedies they need to
mm-hmm.
to collect that loan. It still made them notify me before they could literally foreclose.
That's great.
So what if I wasn't notified? What if I didn't know it was delinquent? What if I wanted to buy it back?
Yeah.
Right.
So say that one more time, Susan, and how what that would say, made per?
If you'll scroll down, Serena, on this page, when you go into the members' website and then you go under training, and then performing loans, and then downloads. There's a whole page. This is just one little section off that page. So as you'll see, there's the PSC, which is what you use just to kind of tie them up while you do your due diligence. Then you've got the RP 101 and 1-1. So you would use the 101-1. That next folder that says endorsements and transfers, when you get inside there, there's an allonge. So all, and then the allonge will have what's the date of the note and who are the original borrowers and what's the amount of the loan. I mean, I don't know which form that is, but that's basically what's on there. And then I just add, per the terms and conditions of the receivable purchase and sale agreement dated 9/15 of 2014. So you're just saying per the terms and conditions, then the name of your agreement and what the date of it is.
Very good.
And all, and there is another paragraph, I don't know if it's inside that folder or not, that's partial language that I just copy and paste into any partial assignment. And I'm doing that when I own the back end.
Right. Protect yourself.
So depending on, you know, if you're handing it over to Allied and Allied knows you're a full and then they know you're selling a partial and you're leaving the servicing there. I had one recently that was the exact same scenario. I was literally Allied, was doing the servicing. When it was reassigned back to Colonial. I just left it there. But when you're staying with the same servicer, it makes it real nice because they get it.
Yep.
You don't even have to do all that.
So just notify your servicer, I'm selling a partial, and they should be able to help you with all the details and making sure that nothing happens to it.
Yeah, I think Ryan would attest to that, too. I know he's had some scenarios like that. They just know how to change the items in the servicing system so that they know who to notify. Because when you own the back end and you sell a partial, one of the terms in that agreement is that if a loan becomes 30 days delinquent or whatever the agreement says, it may say 45 or 60 days delinquent, they are supposed to notify you. That servicer is responsible to do that per the terms of your agreement with them.
Good. All right.
Sounds good. You know, Zarina, I'll bet this is one of those times when everybody on the call was just writing all that down.
Or they're going to listen to the archive.
Or listen to the archive. See, that's one of those things I even wrote down.
Nice.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Mr. Matt, do you want to go over how the contest is working and how to submit your stuff in so that you can participate in that? For the November event.
Yeah, definitely. So first off, another congratulations to Jason Whaley and the Winberries up on the last year's contest. Basically what is going to happen is that in the next couple of days we're going to put a folder onto the website that's going to have the release form and the executive summary. And as y'all can mostly tell, people who have been on the calls have noticed that the executive summary is starting to look a little different. It's starting to look a little bit better than it probably started out looking.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Didn't notice that.
So, well, we probably started realizing it probably needed to look a little bit more professional than just a Word doc. So we also decided that, and as most everyone saw, the case study or the executive summary that Ryan used today is probably the third of the fourth version of that. So it's even changed a little bit after what he did. That's going to be on the website for the contest itself so that you can submit it, and basically you'll just click onto a spot and fill the information in. We're also going to have an executive summary just in general put on the website. So if you ever need an executive summary template, you'll be able to use that as well. But in the next couple of days, there's a folder that's going to be placed on there so that everybody can pull that from the website. It's also going to go out in an email to everyone announcing the official contest, and then also announcing how you can click on a link and what the criteria are. basically the same as last time. I mean, there's several things you'll need to do to make sure that, you know, it's all entered properly. There's only going to be one template, and that is you basically go through and you determine up at the top if it's non-performer, performer, or re-performer. And the other aspect of that is once you put everything in, we were also deciding that the notes that are eligible are going to be the notes that are basically had their workout or a majority of the work done on them this year. So say, for instance, the asset that Ryan had up on the website or on the call tonight, it is supposed to have its balloon that's coming due January. So a lot of the workout might end up happening in January of next year to make it a re-performer or to modify the loan that's a performing note. So even though it is purchased now and you'll be collecting notes during this portion of the last part of the year, a lot of the stuff might end up happening next year. Same difference in a note that was purchased last year that was a performer. If it was purchased last year and you didn't sell partial or anything this year, you did a portion of that this year, that's still eligible. Or if you purchased it at the beginning of this year or any time during this year, it's still going to be eligible for this year. So that's kind of just to explain, if it's purchased last year, what the eligibility would be to have it on this year. Also, you can everyone can submit multiple assets. You're not going to be required to only submit one. And for everyone who is on the non-performer and performer side of the business, you can submit on both sides of the business as well. So, and you'll be eligible for the contest on both sides.
So they can take the whole thing if they won both sides.
If they were a rock star to the extreme, yes, they can basically pull out both sides and just have two. I don't know if we need to rename it the Eddie. I haven't decided that or not. That's what we're gonna do. But they would get two in this case. But yeah, so we're gonna keep the trophy the same just because we want it to look the same. So that if you get multiple, you'll be able to have multiple on your shelf. I'm also in the process of putting together what the prizes are right now, and I would I'll take any suggestions or anything that y'all might want to see as far as a prize for the top three on either side. Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
So to get input, Matt, you want them to email you directly?
Yes, perfect. So if you have any questions, and also whenever you are submitting the case studies, you just submit them to matt@noteschool.com, and I'll be the one who's basically taking all of the case studies and any questions on these on the case study contest itself. Also, one other thing, and this is one thing that we're just to kind of remember, we are going to cut off the contest probably around 10 days. I mean, that time isn't secured down right now. But the reason being is that last year, and especially everyone who presented, last year we kept kind of moving the date back because everybody was, you know, I got one, I just need to finish it. And the reason why we really need to cut it off a little bit earlier is because, number one, we need to sift through them and get all of the best case studies for the top three. But the other part is then we have to take them through and put them into a PowerPoint presentation form, and then we have to give them back to you so that you understand, or so that you can go through them and you know, kind of go through how your presentation should look. And the longer that takes is the shorter amount of time that you have to prepare for your presentation on stage.
Yeah. So, Matt, really what we're saying is we need to have those in somewhere before the 31st of October, and that gives them about 7 days, actually. So really everybody should have them in probably the 26th or 27th of October, being the
right.
And starts on the 6th.
And we'll keep sending out reminders. Once we send out the official letter that comes through email, we'll send, you know, a couple more saying, okay, this, you know, this is what we've got, this amount of time left, make sure to get it in, kind of like it did last year. So as far as the prompts, it'll kind of go as the same way as it did last year through your Infusionsoft emails that everyone receives.
Well, let me just say something, guys. November 6th, 7th sounds like a long time away, but it's less than 2 months.
Mm-hmm. And you really want to get registered to be able to come to the appreciation event as well as Node Expo.
Do we have people not registered?
Oh, lots of people. A lot of people like to wait.
Yeah.
They want to decide about 2 or 3 weeks before.
Is there a deadline to register?
There's a lot of stuff that gets finalized 30 days prior to the event.
Okay.
And what I wouldn't want to find is that our students are the ones that miss out, because we are going to have to limit it to a certain number of people.
Gotcha.
So when is the last sort of time to make sure that they're registered and they're in?
Well, I do know that there's already been a price increase. You know, we had the early bird, and then that ended. And then I do believe that before the end of this month, the price is going to increase again.
Okay.
Now, they haven't given me the official date. They didn't say, Susan, increase it on the 26th or the 30th or the 1st of October. But I do know that it is on the schedule, and it will be changed.
Okay. All right, guys.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Ryan, any parting words?
I appreciate the opportunity. Great call tonight.
You too. Thanks so much, guys. Zarina will be doing the Thursday evening performing call for me, and so I'll be over in West Palm doing a presentation, and then Kevin will be on Thursday, and then I think Kevin and Zarina are going to be on the non-performing call tomorrow. So
that's right.
Everybody have a great week. Be prosperous, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Good night, guys.